Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, pop, and rock music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the websites You Can't Eat Peanuts in Church and Almanac.com. Question number one, which of the following was illegal in North Carolina? Was it A, singing out of tune? Was it B, playing reggae music? Was it C, smashing guitars on stage? Or was it D, waltzing with kangaroos on Sunday? Or was it E? All of the above have been illegal at some time or another in North Carolina. Illegal activities in North Carolina. What is the correct answer anyway? And question number two, where did this month's name, February, come from? Was it A, the astronomer Copernicus is credited with naming this month? Is it B, the month is named after a purification festival? Is it C, February's origin dates back to the Middle Ages? Or was it D, the name comes from a word meaning shortest? February, where from art thou anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of February the 3rd. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1809, that composer Jacob Ludwig Felix Mendelssohn was born. 1809, today. And it was 64 years ago this very day, in 1959, that Buddy Holly, 22, Ritchie Valens, 17, the Big Bopper, 28, and pilot Roger Peterson died in a plane crash in Iowa. The next day, Frankie Avalon and Jimmy Clanton took over headlining the Winter Dance Party after the death of Buddy Holly. This was immortalized in Don McLean's 1971 number one hit, American Pie.
Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. You were always on my mind.
Elvis Presley's Always On My Mind introduces our country transitions article. It's titled, Lisa Marie Presley Died After Second Cardiac Arrest. Family Signed DNR. This is written by Nikki Cox and Bernie Zillo and published on January the 13th, 2023 in page6.com. Lisa Marie Presley's family reportedly signed a do not resuscitate order before the singer died following a second cardiac arrest at the hospital. Sources had previously told Page Six that the singer was pronounced brain dead after she was rushed to the hospital, prompting doctors to put her into a medically induced coma. However, with the news of her critical condition, the singer's family decided to sign a DNR in case she suffered another cardiac arrest, which she did, according to TMZ. Lisa Marie, 54, had attended the Golden Globes just 2 days before her death to celebrate Austin Butler's his award for playing her father. And on January the 8th, she was in Memphis, Tennessee, at Graceland to celebrate her father's birth anniversary.
You were always on my mind.
Yo-Yo Ma's Vassarinhas introduces our classical music news. It's titled Lately We've Heard. This is Beethoven 4-3 by Emmanuel Ax, Leonidas Kavakos, and Yo-Yo Ma. The review is by Bethany Tillerson, and it's published in WCPE Quarter Notes, December through January through February, the winter 22-23 issue. Beethoven 4-3 features cellist Yo-Yo Ma, violinist Leonidas Kavakos, and pianist Emmanuel Ax, performing arrangements of two of Beethoven's symphonies. This album brings the listener a fresh way to experience Beethoven's symphonies. Ma, Kavakos, and Ax, all virtuoso soloists, collaborate for a seamlessly balanced concert performance. The emotional qualities of the symphonies are immense, from the adventure of the Second Symphony, written when Beethoven realized he was going deaf, to the defiant triumph of the Fifth. This is an album for those familiar with Beethoven's symphonies who want to hear them in a new light. This arrangement of the Second Symphony by Beethoven's pupil, Ferdinand Reis, closely resembles Beethoven's piano trios of the same period. The Fifth Symphony is arranged by Colin Matthews in a new commission. Both works seamlessly distribute the instrumentation, blending melody and more supportive harmonic lines, only to be taken up a few bars later by another performer. Hidden voices are revealed in new and exciting ways. Beethoven's symphonies are transformed into something new here, with an emphasis on intimacy and relatability evident throughout the arrangements. Beethoven 4-3 is available as a thank you gift for donations of $120 or more to WCPE, the classical station. Armstrong's Hesitating Blues introduces our jazz and music news. What makes that song swing? At last, physicists unravel a jazz mystery. This is written by Maria Gotti in NPR.org on the 18th of January, 2023. For nearly a century, jazz musicians and scholars have debated the answer to a musical mystery. As legendary jazz trumpeter Louis Armstrong once put it, "What is this thing called swing?" Swing has long been considered an essential component of almost all types of jazz, from traditional to bebop to post-bop. As Ella Fitzgerald and many others have sung, "If it don't mean a thing, if it ain't got that swing." You might describe swing as a rhythmic phenomenon in jazz performances, a propulsive, groovy feeling that makes you want to move with the music. Fittingly, physicists now think they've got an answer to the secret of swing, and it all has to do with subtle nuances in the timing of soloists, that elusive swing feel in performances. Ask a jazz musician what swing is, and you're likely to get the same answer Christian McBride gave me. "Swing is a feel," says McBride, a multi-Grammy-winning jazz bassist, music educator, and host of NPR's Jazz Night in America. There's a certain language. There's a certain inflection of rhythm. There's one defining component of swing that's easy to hear, and it has to do with how eighth notes are played. Instead of playing them straight in jazz, these notes are swung, meaning the downbeats, or every other eighth note, is played just a little longer, while the offbeat notes in between are shortened, creating a galloping rhythm. The physics of swing. Geisel is a theoretical physicist with the Max Planck Institute for Dynamics and Self-Organization and the University of Göttingen in Germany. He spent 3 decades studying the physics of synchronization, for example, how the billions of neurons in your brain coordinate with each other. He's also a passionate amateur saxophonist. He even has a band with other physicists. They play at conferences. So how do musicians synchronize when they try to create swing in jazz?
Why do you hesitate?
The researchers analyzed a database with over 450 recordings of jazz soloists, including performances by the likes of Dizzy Gillespie, Joshua Redman, and Charlie Parker. They found that almost all of them were using tiny downbeat delays relative to the rhythm section. There were very few exceptions, Geisel says. He says these tiny timing delays aren't random. They're systematic, though musicians are probably just doing it intuitively. So have scientists finally cracked the cipher of swing? Well, we've cracked a lot of it, Geisel says. But he says there are some mysteries of individual artistry that science might never be able to unravel. As for jazz musicians seeking the secret to swing, McBride's advice is study the greats. There's the spiritual answer, and then there's the scientific answer, McBride says. You've just got to listen to people who did it well. Louis Armstrong, start there. If you actually want to go hear someone who can swing their butt off, Nicholas Payton would not be a bad start. Branford Marsalis would not be a bad start. Listen closely, he says, and eventually those mysteries of rhythm and timing will reveal themselves. And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, "Yes, Your Pet Deserves Its Own Playlist. Here's Where to Find Them." Who says music streaming is just for humans? This is written by Courtney Jackson and published on the 4th of August, 2022 in CNET. After spending nearly 2 years following quarantine rules, pet parents may have noticed hints of extra clinginess with your pod or feathered friends. It's not uncommon for them to follow you everywhere around the house, sleep in your bed, or stare at you out of love. But now that we're leaving the house for work, errands, vacation, and other activities, separation anxiety may be kicking in. Music may be the remedy they need. While it's fairly known that classical music can soothe a savage beast, it's not the only soundtrack that works. A 2017 study conducted by the University of Glasgow and Scottish SPCA highlighted how kenneled dogs' stress levels drop when they listen to reggae or soft rock. Over the years, other studies have examined how music affects boredom, stress, and emotional responses in felines, dogs, pigs, and other animals. Whether you have a pet puppy, cat, pig, parakeet, or iguana, why not set them up with their own music streaming playlist? These apps will turn little Bella or Duke into relaxed or party-ready musical savants. Spotify playlists launched in 2020 are curated based on your pet's personality and your personal music taste. Then there's YouTube. His home to millions of hours of free content, and when it comes to streaming music for your cat or dog, there are plenty of options. Tune in for a 24-hour live stream from a channel like Relax My Dog, which plays music along with a video to help your pup calm down or stay entertained. Amazon Music offers curated playlists with music that eases your dog or cat into a chill state. Check out the Calming Music for Dogs playlist or the collection titled Classical for Pets for its playlist lineup. Then there's Apple Music, and like Spotify and Amazon Music, Apple Music has full albums that you can add to your playlist from artists such as Pet Music World and Pet Therapy. Most of the pet-centric music on the service is geared toward either cats or dogs. No matter where you stream, you could certainly play Beethoven or Beyoncé on a loop, but puppy lullabies, jazz, and sounds of nature like falling rain seem to be among the most popular types of playlist music for our fur-bearing or feathered family members. Jeff Beck, performing A Day in the Life, introduces this article titled, Guitar God Jeff Beck Dies at 78. This is written by Meskin Fekadu on the 11th of January, 2023, for The Hollywood Reporter. Beck's family said the rocker suddenly contracted bacterial meningitis and peacefully passed away on Tuesday, the 10th of January. Jeff Beck, one of the greatest guitarists of all time who rose to fame in the English rock band The Yardbirds, died on Tuesday. He was 78. His family said in a statement on Wednesday, "It is with deep and profound sadness that we share the news of Jeff Beck's passing. After suddenly contracting bacterial meningitis, he peacefully passed away yesterday. His family asked for privacy while they processed the tremendous loss." Beck won 8 Grammy Awards and ranked 5th on Rolling Stone's list of the 100 greatest guitarists. He also fronted the Jeff Beck Group. The Shirelles, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, introduces our local music news. It's an upcoming musical production of Dream Girls. Coming up February 7th through the 12th, 2023, in Raleigh Memorial Auditorium. Full of onstage joy and backstage drama, Dream Girls tells the rags-to-riches story of a 1960s Motown girl group and the triumphs and tribulations that come with fame and fortune. So go to nctheater.com, your Broadway connection at 1 East South Street, Raleigh, or phone 919-831-6941 for more details and ticket information. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which of the following was illegal in North Carolina? Was that A, singing out of tune? B, playing reggae music? Was it C, smashing guitars on stage? Was it D, waltzing with kangaroos on Sunday? Or E, all of the above have been illegal at some time or another in North Carolina? Correct answer, answer A, singing out of tune. As noted in Barbara Suling's 1975 book, You Can't Eat Peanuts in Church and Other Little-Known Laws, singing out of tune was illegal in North Carolina. Legend had it that a man in Lumberton, North Carolina, was fined for singing loudly and poorly. Janet Altshuler, in a January 8, 2015 article in Tucson's Criminal Law blog, adds, if you're planning on singing in North Carolina, you should strongly consider taking voice lessons. According to an old myth, it's technically illegal to sing off-key in the state. The origin of this law is thought to come from a 19th century court case in which a man was fined for singing loudly and poorly. However, the case may have had more to do with disturbing the peace than being out of tune. Finally, Will Duran, from a January 27, 2023 article published in the News and Observer, titled North Carolina's Strangest Laws, Happy Hours and Cussing Are Illegal, But Possum Abuse Sometimes Isn't, states that previous articles on similar topics have claimed, as one fun example, that it's against the law in North Carolina to use an elephant to plow a cotton field. But the News and Observer were unable to verify this, and a search of the NC General Statutes shows no mentions of either elephant or pachyderm in any law. Anyone who flew over the holidays might be surprised to learn it's illegal to cuss inside of an airport in North Carolina. There's a good chance many would-be travelers on Southwest Airlines may have been guilty of committing that particular crime when the company canceled thousands of flights in the days right around Christmas. It's the lowest level of misdemeanor, however, so only people with five or more prior convictions would face the possibility of being locked up behind bars for their potty mouth. Taxes are used to fund things like schools, which also have some laws that can appear somewhat antiquated in the modern world. For example, teachers are legally required to encourage temperance, morality, industry, and neatness among their students, and to make sure they learn to sing. A state law originally written in 1955 and updated as recently as 2013 says teachers must provide for singing in the school in addition to their other educational duties. But teachers, just be careful not to sing too loud if the school is near a church or a cemetery. That's because of a different law passed in 2006 that says People can be charged with a felony if they annoy mourners at a funeral by singing or chanting, yelling or whistling. And the answer to our second question, where did this month's name, February, come from? Was it A, the astronomer Copernicus is credited with naming this month? Or was it B, the month is named after a purification festival? Or was it C, February's origin dates back to the Middle Ages? Or was it D, the name comes from a word meaning shortest? Correct answer? Answer B. As noted in the January 12, 2023 Almanac.com article titled Everything You Should Know About February, February comes from the Latin word februa, which means to cleanse. The month was named after the Roman Februalia, which was a month-long festival of purification and atonement that took place this time of year. And by the way, January and February were the last 2 months to be added to the Roman calendar, circa 713 BC. Originally, winter was considered to be a month-less period. Now, in recognition of the plane crash deaths of Richie Havens, Buddy Holly, and the Big Bopper on this very day back in 1959, let's close out today's program with Don McLean's tribute song, American Pie, the day the music died.
But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride. Something touched me deep inside the day the music died.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music that feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.